It was not an easy switch at all. I was in a very cushy job, and financially, it was the biggest challenge, and also emotionally and physically. So, everything I gave it because, as I said, I saw a vision in me doing that, what I needed to do. And I think I was born to do fashion.
Hey, this is Epicenter NYC. We connect our communities to news, information, and each other. I'm your host, Curtis Rouser. Fashion and styling started as a passion and quickly became a side hustle for Indo-Canadian entrepreneur Tara Brion. But this year, her work is front and center at New York Fashion Week. Originally from Assam, a state in northeastern India, Tara's designs embrace her home's traditional weavers and sustainable production. Today, Epicenter's founder and publisher Esme Trikalita talks to Tara about her pivot to fashion following a long career in investment banking. They'll also discuss the inspiration behind Tara Brion Couture and how her collection captures the essence of Assamese tapestry.
I am born and raised in Assam, Guwahati, and did my further studies in Mumbai, and then came to Dubai, and then further onwards to Canada for my work purpose. I was always into investment banking, but since 2017 or 18, I started pursuing what I actually love to do, which is anything to do with fashion.
So I just want to clarify this. You were actually an investment banker for most of your career. I was actually going to begin with New York Fashion Week, but why don't we stay here for a moment and tell me a little bit about how you pivoted from investment banking to fashion?
I was, when I was a student, I was very interested into fashion walking, like the model walks, catwalks, because that was very new in India. And Mumbai being the capital, commercial capital of India, it was a very upbeat town at that time and still now. So I used to come across in my university campus a lot of models. So that's when I started seeing actual catwalk. I didn't know what was that. So, but parallelly, I was pursuing my studies in finance. I was doing econometrics, and then I graduated in mathematical economics. But in between that, I got opportunity with international renowned, now renowned designer Ritu Berry. I did a few model walk, catwalk for her, a couple of them actually. So I did a couple of walks, and then my parents came to know they are very oriented towards academics. They said, like, you cannot do fashion, you have to pursue your finance, whatever you're doing, and complete your education going forward, and which is the right advice at that time for my parents. That's what I did. I stopped doing catwalks, but what I did parallelly with my studies is I became a stylist. So that's how the fashion grew into me around that time. And I knew that there was something in me. But then again, I got married, I got into jobs. You need money to survive. So the fashion took a background completely. I worked for Royal Bank of Canada for many years, 21 years I worked for Royal Bank of Canada. But 2014, it all started from a small Bihu or Assam Hong Kong Canada Bihu program. In 2014, the president requested me that I heard that you were into fashion. Why don't we do our first fashion show with you? And I thought, like, okay, it's among the Assamese community, it'll go fine. And I didn't have any much risk, you know. I didn't mind doing that. So that happened. And then somehow the Assam convention, they invited me. They saw it on YouTube. So we did our first show in New Jersey. Then I thought, like, I'll do one show for Assam convention. If not one, at least every 2 years I'll do one show. I promise myself I won't let this art die in me. So I didn't know it will happen all of a sudden. In 2018, actually, I got an invitation to showcase my weaves in Australia, Sydney. I was a little nervous because I didn't know what kind of show outside the Assam convention arena. I never tried out with any other people. So I outsourced a tailor in Delhi, and That's where my life started, actually.
That's amazing. I think it's a good time for, so regular listeners of the podcast and people who know my work have heard about Assam, but it's probably a good time for us to just remind people that you and I share the same home, if you will. In your case, you were born in Assam, correct?
Yes, go ahead.
And in my case, my parents were born in Assam, and Assam is a state in Northeast India, and both of us call it home. So you're referencing weavers, you're referencing Mekhla Chador, which I don't want listeners to gloss over the difference between a sari and a Mekhla Chador. So I'm just wondering if you could explain why Assamese fashion is distinct.
I would say our silk, the rich texture, the weave, the intricate handloom weaves, you cannot compare with any other silks in the world. I think, you know, from the time in Sydney, there was no Assamese people in that crowd. It was a huge crowd of 1,000. People came from Melbourne and nearby cities to see the show along with other designers. But I was given a standing ovation. I had no idea what was going on. But I used 100% of our weaves. And I've noticed what people said the first time is, what is this? We have never seen this before. This is our silk, Assam silk. How is it that? Is it a power loom? So no, we do not use electricity. We only use our hands to weave this and our loom. So once the weave comes out, the texture and the shine is so graceful, it's so classy, and it's so rich that it cannot be compared. They have never seen and they want a piece of it. Doesn't matter if it's a wedding lehenga or a sari or a two-piece attire, which is our Mekhla Chador.
And we'll come back to the kind of ensuing years from deciding to enter fashion to this moment that you're in now. But, you know, I'm talking to you a few days before your New York Fashion Week debut. It's a really big deal for any designer, let alone a designer, as you say, from Assam, which in many locations, you're entering a market that is not familiar with our silk, is not familiar with our people. Most people probably couldn't even find it on a map. So I think it's a really big deal, and Epicenter is so happy to support you in that. Can you tell me a little bit about how New York Fashion Week came about?
I got a call around September or October last year, a message on Instagram saying, like, would you be interested to join the New York Fashion Week in your showcase for February for the spring launch? And I thought it was like a fake. And I didn't give interest. And then they kept pursuing. Then finally I said, like, can I have a Zoom meeting? I want to know details about you. So we got into a call actually eventually. But this is, honestly speaking, it's a dream for a lot of designers. I must say that I'm very lucky. And I asked them the same question, that how come you have been after me since November, December, January, February. And finally, I said yes in February, end of March, after 4 months, that I will do your September show. So why did you do it? I said, we find your products very unique and very interesting, and we want to see live.
And I feel that too. I mean, there's something about Assam silk. You know, I have probably a few hundred saris. I really do. I mean, it's embarrassing. But I don't find anything, to your point, that has that shine. And also, it's an interesting marriage of being classy, but also kind of funky because of the designs. And so I guess I want to talk to you a little bit about what we're going to see at New York Fashion Week, because I hope it's okay to say that it's not traditional Assamese style clothing. So what are people going to see?
We are going to launch our Tara Bhuiyan Couture's Pret Luxury Couture. So this will be our Pret Luxury Couture for gowns, for different kinds of, it'll be a surprise. But I'm showing there a typical silk weave, how we can blend it and make it to a beautiful outfit, which can be worn by a bride, which can be worn by a wedding guest, which can be worn by Hollywood celebrities, which can be worn by a journalist, a celebrity journalist like you, and I cannot let out more than that.
I guess the reason for asking you that is that the access to saris and we didn't define the mekhla chador, I'm sorry about that, but it's a two-piece outfit as opposed to the sari, which is 6 yards that you wrap all around. But it sounds like you're creating outfits that might have access for other types of events and also other communities. Is that accurate?
It is something that anybody can wear, but it's a luxury wear.
This is a basic question, but I just want to, because New York Fashion Week, for those of us who live in New York, it's such a part of the city, right? During Fashion Week, there's parties, there's glamorous people on the subway. Like, it definitely, you know, takes over the city. For someone like you who's coming from outside, tell me a little bit about who's going to be in the audience during the showcase and what does it mean for a designer to show at Fashion Week?
The first question is, who is going to be in the showcase? I'm expecting a lot of press and media, some very high net worth individuals, I think a couple of bureaucrats, and of course, some of our Assamese community around New Jersey, Boston, New York. And attending to your second question is, what is it to do any show in any fashion week or any fashion show? Fashion show for a fashion designer is a showcasing. And in a scale of LA Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, or any other kind of fashion week, these are bigger awareness and larger content. Bigger editors come, press media force, audiences are larger. And Fashion Week is an awareness by itself, not only on the show day, pre-shows also. So many, another bureau called New York Fashion Bureau invited me to showcase on the 8th evening, which I dropped it because it's too hectic for me. So it's an awareness for any designer.
And you had also mentioned that one of the reasons New York Fashion Week approached you is because you're an example of sustainable fashion. What about Tarabuya Couture makes it sustainable? Can you explain that to us?
Sustainable fashion is not only about the weaves that we have. These weaves are sustainable weaves. It's a handloom. We don't use any electricity. And it lasts a lot. These are timeless. These are timeless products which does not go out of fashion.
Every show I've seen of yours, you mentioned the weavers. I just wanted to make sure I ask you, who are we talking about? Who are the weavers that work for you? And what is their role in not just the creation of the work, but the design? Because to your point, these are designs from thousands of years ago. So what is the role of the weavers in your work?
They are my everything in my work. They are such talented people. Such talented women and men. We have gender equality. These people, these weavers, are my guidance. They guide me. I can only give them my vision, but they make it real. They are the ones who make it real. They are the ones who work closely and intricately and perfectly. And the colors, of course, it's a vertical integration for me. So it's a big challenge, Sangamitra. It's not very easy as it sounds. Why it takes long time for one outfit to come out is we make the top material of the weaves and there is nothing to fall back to. If there is a damage, if there is an error, we have to again go back to our weaves. It's not that I go to the market and get another 10 meters. We have to depend on those weaves. So these weavers are so perfect that over the years that they work with me, every day we both are learning from each other. Initially, there was a lot of problems. There was a lot and lots of challenges. Many, many sleepless nights. The last 5 years, I would say, I slept probably average of 2.5 to 3 hours max. That kind of time is very difficult to give unless you are very passionate. And my weavers are also equally passionate as me to do the perfect job because they now know what my expectations are. They now know how to work under me. And I have a beautiful master weaver who guides them. And she is my soulmate there. So this was not just all of a sudden. It came from my grandmother too. My grandmother, she used to weave her own Mekhla chadors. She had her own loom in her own home. And that was in the when the British colony was there, talking about the 1930s prior to that. So these weaves, when Mahatma Gandhi came to Assam, to Upper Assam and Jorhat in Assam, he visited for his political campaign. He visited my mom's family, which is in the upper northeast of Assam. And she's a very trendy woman at that time, as far as weaves are concerned. So he really liked what he weaved for him. And he said, why don't you get a few other women and show them how to weave their own clothes? So she started the cotton weaving there. So this empowered a lot of people. And that's why Tara Bhuiyan Couture, the tagline of Tara Bhuiyan Couture is Woven Dreams of Assam. It just didn't come from anywhere. It came from Mahatma Gandhi's own words that Assamese women weaves dream in their looms. And that's how I said Woven Dreams of Assam. That's how I got the inspiration from my grandmom. I still have those Mekhla chadors that she wove originally. And I still, it's called a remix of design. I'm getting those, some of the 15th century designs will be shown in New York Fashion Week, which I remixed a little bit with my flavor, with my colors. And eventually it came to my mom. My mom was within the perimeters of our home and she was stitching all our three siblings. We are we are four siblings, but three girls in our as among my sisters. So she actually did all these trendy designs without any magazines. So I had to help cut those for her. That's how I know cutting. And that's how I train all these tailors. And it took all of 2019 to get these mastered. And then, of course, a lot of support with my husband and my daughters, my two daughters. A lot of family support. Without them, I don't think so I would have come this far.
The history with your grandmother and weaving, did you dive into that after you decided to full-time go into fashion, or is that a part of your family history? You were raised knowing about this.
We grew up with very trendy clothes. I didn't see my grandmother's Mekhla chadors or shawls that she used to create at that time. But I knew my mom was stitching for us until I was started rejecting her clothes because I was 13 and I wanted to wear what everybody else was wearing. And I was a teenager. But she did remarkable outfits, which I actually now see in Vogue and all. But I think she is a very creative, extremely creative lady. And I have to mention here that almost all my outfits is based on her dream outfit, the vision of a dream outfit, which she told me many times to show in one of my showcasing. And most of my outfits are going to be based on that particular dream of hers in New York fashion.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So, one thing I wanted to ask you spent 20 plus years at the Royal Bank of Canada, and your path in fashion is not traditional, and yet that can also be an asset. So, we interview a lot of small businesses, a lot of entrepreneurs. Can you tell me how coming out of finance and that work experience, how has that been an asset for you in this world?
It was not an easy switch at all. I was in a very cushy job, and financially, it was the biggest challenge, and also emotionally and physically. So, everything I gave it because, as I said, I saw a vision in me doing that, what I needed to do. And I think I was born to do fashion. Every day, I say to myself, I get to bed around 11:30, 12 at night, and I know I have my first call coming at 1:32 in the morning from my factory because they start working. At that time, I feel like, oh, when am I going to do some serious job? I'm honestly telling you. I never felt a single in the last 2019 or 2018 onwards that I worked a single minute also. It feels like you're doing a kind of hobby. And when it's fun, and when your hobby and passion financially complements with that, that's the best thing in the world.
To learn more about Tara's work, follow Tara Bhuiyan Couture on Instagram or visit tarabhuiyan.com. You can also join us on Saturday, September 9th for a fashion showcase sponsored by Epicenter, Wolf Therapy, and Resonance Acupuncture. Click the link in our show notes to reserve your tickets today, and make sure to add our discount code TARA20 for 20% off admission. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us as we do our best to support our community. We couldn't do it without you. For more stories like this, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at epicenter-nyc.com. Our intro music is All the Pretty Horses by Kara Vrika. You can find more of their music on their website, linked to in our podcast description.